Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center doing a fabulous job getting everything all ready, ready to play the music during this segment, and he's going to take good care of us. Soon afterward, the archive will show the WKOK podcast page has been enhanced with our new interview, and we thank Rob for that. On the news line with us now, Dr. Chris Martin is back on. He is a professor of botany at Bucknell University. I used to have your full, there we go, the David Burpee Professor of Plant and Genetics and Research at the Bucknell University. And but really, plants are cool too. Has that had a global impact? Have you heard it from around the world about the plants are cool too?
Well, yeah, good morning, Mark. Yeah, you're talking about my YouTube series, Plants Are Cool Too, a whole set of mini documentaries about plants. And yeah, it's getting played all over the world. I'm so excited about, you know, the many, many teachers I hear from all over the place that are using it in classrooms, K-12, and universities.
You're one of the few people where I've had opportunity to talk to your wife on another topic. She works at the WISE Center. Talked to Jackson last year when he was getting ready for the summertime Leadership Academy. Did they have the Wildlife Leadership Academy last year?
I actually don't think it ran this past summer. Yeah.
All right. I know Jackson was one of the advocates for it.
A
conservation expert, I think they called him. But listen, there's another task that you guys have done. Now, listen to this. Tell me what this is about.
Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you.
It's kind of a blind
but my
time.
Words like silent raindrops fell.
All right, well, tell me all about that. How did that come about? Now, Jackson's playing.
You know what?
Jackson's
I didn't
playing
see that
guitar.
Coming.
Right, well.
Yeah, that's
you're kind of out there.
That's my son Jackson playing guitar and me singing Sound of Silence. The Weiss Center for the Performing Arts at Bucknell obviously isn't running performances this year, but they came up with a really neat idea, which was to record members of the Bucknell community on stage playing music, right? So it's lots of folks that are not professional musicians like myself and Jackson, you know, showing up and doing a song. They've done over 40 of these, and if you just Google Weiss Center YouTube, you can find them. There's so many great performances.
Well, it is just ridiculous, the talent that is on display in these Weiss Center performances. Anybody can watch them for free at weisscenter.blog. You go there and search up the performances. But you and your son Jackson playing there, woman, Amy Jordan, I think is her name.
Hannah
Jordan. Oh, my
Hannah
gosh.
Jordan
just
a wonderful job, yeah.
Crazy talent, singer, songwriter, and guitar player, and wide range of others. So we were
My daughter Izzy even did one last week with her friend Aaliyah Spiro from town here, and I've watched that about 1,000 times. Really good.
Well, great. Well, congratulations. Yeah, what a family. Multi-talented. We'll have to interview her and complete the scene so we get everybody involved on this. But we wanted to talk to you today about botany, believe it or don't, the Mr. Potato Head controversy where Hasbro decided that as they market Potato Head, he would just go out as Potato Head. Now, of course, once you have it in your home, you can make one of them Mr. Potato Head or Mrs. That's Potato Head, but they were sold separately in the past. But tell us, what's the reality when it comes to potatoes and Hasbro?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a couple weeks late on this, but it dawned on me that Hasbro sort of walked into this big buzzsaw of controversy on, you know, dropping the Mr. and the Mrs. and just going with Potato Head, but they really should have just called a botanist like myself, and I could have told them that, you know, that potatoes, like, have you ever grown a potato, Mark?
No, I don't believe
plant.
I have, no.
Yeah, I mean, you put potatoes in the ground, but they grow a whole plant, and the plant itself makes flowers that are all both male and female, like, actually, most flowers, like, they're both things anyway, right? So from the beginning, a potato can kind of be anything, right? So what they should have done, it says what we're doing is we're sort of trying to follow the actual science and say that our potato head can be anything, just like a real potato.
Well, now how is that going to fit on the box?
Well, then you just drop Mr. or Mrs. All you need is potato head, and you're covered, right? But Okay. They didn't call me.
And so this is great botany trivia. I really think the fact that, you know, did this irritate you from childhood on, the fact that you saw the potato heads coming out and they were labeled as one sex or another?
No, I didn't really think about it that much as a kid. But, you know, now I'm sort of, you know, and potato, the whole potato head thing, it was just really just a toy, right? But it started out as just being a literal potato. The parts were in the box, and then you stuck them in a real potato in your house, right? So, and, you know, the potato has always just been this blank canvas, right? So I don't see the big deal in it being the case right now either.
If you take a potato, so like you play with it for a while, you put the parts on it, then you take it off. Hopefully you're not totally wasting the food. You can use it to plant, right? You just go take a potato and put it in the ground, and you have subsequently planted more potatoes?
Yeah. You can cut up a potato into multiple pieces as long as one of those eyes is there. That's the bud that can grow into sort of the next plant. So as long as you have one of those, you can plant multiple pieces of potatoes in a garden, and they'll grow lots of plants, and all those plants will have flowers on them that have both male and female parts anyway. So,
well, tell me about how many plants are like that that are self-sufficient.
Yeah, I mean, among the group we call the flowering plants, which is most of the plant biodiversity on Earth, 90% of all species are actually bisexual. They have both male and female parts on every single plant.
And why do we need all these bees?
Well, because it still makes sense to mate with someone who's not yourself, right? So, I mean, people have probably heard about, like, royal families where inbreeding became common because they sort of, you know, kept it in the family, if you will, right? And that leads to all sorts of genetic issues. So it's always better, really, most of the time, to be able to, what we might call outcross, right, to sort of reproduce with someone who's not yourself. And because many plants have all the parts, right, it's really easy to do that, but down the line it can cause some real issues for them.
Do not potatoes breed only from themselves?
Well, yeah, they can. And what's really interesting is that I've been talking about this for a couple days now, and some of the folks in my botanical community were sort of looking to correct me and say, well, actually, a potato itself is really asexual, right? Because you can just take a piece of potato, like I said, and it will grow into an exact clone of that potato plant, right? Which is, you know, what we would call asexual reproduction. So often with potatoes and lots of crop plants, what we're doing is basically just repeating the exact same cloned individual over and over again.
How do we improve potatoes? I know farmers, you know, use grafting and all sort of genetics now. I guess, is that the way we would improve potatoes, is through genetics? Or maybe just keep cloning only big potatoes, if that's what you wanted, or the precise size that you're seeking?
Yeah, if you were to go to a potato research facility, what they're doing is they're not just cutting up little pieces and growing the same potatoes over and over. They're doing some of that, but they're also allowing the potatoes to fully mature as plants, and then they're sort of, you know, cross-pollinating across different plants to try to capture some of that, like, new variation, right? That's what we've done for 10,000 years with agriculture, is sort of, sometimes we sort of let the system play with itself, let those sort of flowers get pollinated in different ways, and then just see what kind of variation pops up. And that's sort of the magic of plant breeding, right? We've managed to turn some wild plants that didn't offer us very much into incredible crop plants.
Well, and we do want different potatoes. You know, if you go to the store, there's probably a half a dozen different types, maybe more.
Yep.
And some people want great big ones, and other purposes have small ones. The best thing I ever saw was when I went to tour the Middlesworth chips plant. The very first thing they do is sort the potatoes by size. Big potatoes, big chips, little potatoes, little chips. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
That's great. Well, I ate some purple potatoes this weekend, and they were beautiful, right? And it's neat to have some variety there. And what's really interesting, I mean, the history of potato is pretty wild. I mean, the people of the Andes, you know, they're there for 12, 14,000 years. In the high elevation Andes, they're the ones who really made the potato what it is. And they had hundreds of different varieties, you know, that were adapted to all sorts of different things. You could move every 100 feet in the Andes Mountains and find a different variety of potato being grown. And in the exchange between sort of those crops and what ended up in Europe, almost all of those varieties were lost, right? So we are actually growing a really small subset of the sort of the original variation that was developed in the crop potato.
Now, did Mr. Potato Head create sort of a fun relationship with potatoes, or did we already sort of think of potatoes as, did they just capitalize on the fact that we always thought of potatoes as being a little bit more fun than other vegetables?
I don't know, dude. The fact that you can take a potato out of your pantry and turn it into a toy is pretty amazing. And somebody had a really good idea there. But I was thinking about this. I'm imagining that even before Hasbro comes up with this idea, there must have been kids that were sort of sticking stuff into potatoes and pretending they were, you know, people.
Sure.
Right? I mean, put a couple pencils there and
carve them.
What else? Googly eyes.
Right, and you could carve, you know, you could carve a potato for a long time. It wouldn't really last significantly long. And I also remember as a child playing Mr. Potato Head, but being very cognizant of the fact that if you're going to play with it, you have to save the eyes so that you can plant it, and that it wasn't going to be totally wasted out of the cupboard.
You just, that's, Mark, you just gave it, brilliantly, potatoes already have eyes. You wouldn't even need to add the eyes to a real potato to make it into a potato person.
Well, yeah, but you needed eyebrows, so that's the
key
to the add-on parts. Well, I think, you know, you and I are doing this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but we're really now at the heart of what drives your zeal for making sure that people take plants somewhat seriously and can honestly say to themselves, plants are cool too.
They are. I mean, you've heard me say before that, I think a lot of us sort of are walking around not really noticing all the plants around us. It's like this sort of, you know, now becoming increasingly sort of green blob of stuff out there in the world. But I mean, just looking out my window right now, there are dozens and dozens of different species of plants out there, all playing some really cool role in this little local ecosystem of mine. And when we scale that up to the whole planet, that, you know, plants are everywhere and they're running the whole place, right? So I think it's really important that we recognize them, respect them, learn about them. They're fascinating.
What should I be worried about our plant world? Some of your features have a pretty serious tone to them.
Yeah. I think, you know, what we're seeing in plants around the world is just like what we're seeing with lots of other different groups of organisms. And, you know, we're kind of in a biodiversity crisis in a lot of ways. We're losing species at a pretty fast rate, probably, you know, much quicker than whatever a natural rate would be. And that's a bummer if you love plants and different types of animals, because these things are disappearing forever. They don't come back ever. But it's also a bummer for, you know, like I said, the way ecosystems run, right? Having a biodiverse natural systems on the planet is good for the health of the planet, right? And it's good for the health of us, too, like we were just talking about, right? This is where new agricultural crops come from. This is where a lot of new medicines come from. It's preserving the biodiversity that's out there because it's important in itself, but also because, you know, there are real benefits for us potentially as well.
And what should I be glad about? I should be grateful and content knowing what about the plant world?
I tell you what, I don't know how you're feeling right now, but just watching some crocuses come out of the ground and some other things, winter aconite and other, it feels like the most wonderful spring after the longest, darkest winter in history right now. So for me, I just, you know, go outside, walk around everybody and see what's popping out of the ground. And look at the buds on the trees that are all swelling up right now. Here in the Susquehanna Valley, all the silver maples are blooming on the riverbank. And, you know, things are really starting to happen again. And it's the plants that, for me, are totally raising my spirit right now, right? The new spring that is.
Well, things are cool too, or plants are cool too. There's just no argument about it, and that this is a great reason.
Thank you for saying that.
Well, Dr. Martine, how can I connect to Plants Are Cool Too if I wish to watch that?
Yeah, thanks. I would love for people to check out some of the videos that we've made. You just go to YouTube or even just Google and Google Plants Are Cool Too, D-O-O. And that'll take you to our video series, right? We have a relatively new, actually a new episode about plant conservation in Hawaii called How to Save a Species from Going Extinct that touches on some of the things that you and I have chatted about today, and would love people to watch it.
All right. Well, we will definitely check that out. Thanks for bringing us Plantsgiving last fall as well. We appreciate
sure.
talking about the importance of Thanksgiving. Well, I am going to say goodbye to you, but our audience is going to hear one more minute of the Sounds of Silence from Bucknell. So I was just just so tickled from that. And you have an amazing talent. Have you acted and sung a lot in the past?
Here and there. You know, as you know, I was on a little while ago, maybe last year, promoting Mamma Mia downtown, which was really the most singing I've done in a lot of years. But I do enjoy it, and being able to do this with my son was, you know, I don't know, a life highlight. I'll cherish this video and this recording for as long as I live, I'm sure.
Well, the whole family is so talented, so you know, we just appreciate all you're doing for the community, and doing it all in plain sight, so we can see that. Good mentor, so we appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Chris.
Mark.
Thanks for calling in today.
Okay, see ya.
And it's Dr. Chris Martin, a star of Plants Are Cool Too. He is Bucknell University's David Burpee Professor of Plants and Genetic and Research. We leave with another excerpt of his song, Sounds of Silence. You can go to wisecenter.blog to check that out, and that would be an opportunity for you to hear his whole song and plus many, many other talented singers.
Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you, but my words like silent raindrops fell, echoed in the wells of silence, and the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls, whispered the sounds of silence.